Let's talk about your health. If you suffer from any type of daily pain, I need you to listen to this message very carefully. What we know about the root cause of pain is changing forever. As we age, aches and pains are natural, and we all are searching for an effective way to relieve pain without side effects and addiction. Let's be frank. We have all seen the horrors of the opioid crisis. You may even be affected personally, and that's where a pioneering medical scientist comes in, Clint Winters. You may have seen this world-renowned health expert featured in the national media as he unveiled a natural pain reliever that is taking the world by storm. Yes, I'm talking about Conilodyne, the 100% drug-free way to get full-body pain relief without dangerous pills. As you read this, Conilodyne has become the go-to pain reliever for over 1 million Americans and hundreds of professional athletes. It was so powerful, it was used even exclusively by UFC fighters, and those guys know a thing or two about managing pain. Now get this. Clint explains how Conilodyne is the only compound on earth that optimizes your body's natural painkillers called endorphins at any age. When taking daily, your body will fire back to relieving pain like you were in your prime in just days. And let me tell you, I was skeptical, but it works. I've tried virtually everything and I have not felt this great in years. It's like all my daily aches and pains just faded away. My back, neck, joint, muscles all feel great and renewed. Best of all, Conilodyne does not make you feel the least bit groggy or drugged up. I feel great, alert, focused for the day ahead. And the best news, Conilodyne has no documented side effects after 14 years of extensive testing. Hear me when I say this, Conilodyne is absolutely the future of pain relief. So if you're dealing with pain, make sure to click on the link below and check out Clint's amazing informative report on 100% America-made Conilodyne. This innovation is changing lives by providing safe and powerful relief at one-tenth the cost of pain pills. Now here's the best part. When you click on the link below today, you can access the only Conilodyne product in the world for less than $1 per day. The private link and discount will stay active until midnight. Try Conilodyne risk-free for a full 90 days. You have nothing to lose. You are days away from finally beating pain forever. Go to trykono.com/x22 now and see for yourself. Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today we have a returning guest, Bill Holter. Bill is a financial writer, a gold expert. He helps people purchase gold and store precious metals. You can find all his work on BillHolter.com. And I am very happy and honored to have Bill back on the X22 Report Spotlight. Bill, welcome back to the Spotlight.
Thanks for having me back, Dave.
Hey, thanks for being here. And I wanted to get your take on the economy. Let's just start off with that, because as we could see in the beginning of this year, the Fed was talking about cutting the rate, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 times. Now they decided to cut the rate one time right before the election, which is kind of odd because normally during the election, they don't do this. But they're also talking about doing more rate cuts after the election. So when you heard the Fed was going to cut rates right before the election, what were you thinking about? Why did you think they did this?
Well, I mean, my first thought was it was political. And then, of course, the fact that it was a half a point cut, I mean, that has never been seen any time other than during a crisis. So they cut rates a half a point and at the same time tell us that the economy's doing great, everything's fine. They did the cut with stocks at all-time highs. Housing is not collapsed yet. That's still to come. The only thing really that has been having a problem is commercial real estate. And of course, that's going to weigh on the banks. I know you want to talk about the banks a little bit later on, but there's a problem. And I think I do believe that you're going to see another a repo crisis. It could be before the election or after the election, but liquidity seems to be tight. And when I say liquidity seems to be tight, what do you see China doing? China is just blowing currency into the system, and now they're doing fiscal cuts, and money supply is finally turning higher in the U.S. But for them to do a half a point cut, it's either political, which the odds are pretty good on that, or there's something really on fire beneath the surface that we don't see.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it seems like you would do a rate cut like this if we're in a crisis, because it kind of reminds me of 2008. Because if you go back to 2008, they were doing a lot of rate cuts in 2007. And then when we entered 2008, we had Bernanke, the Fed, saying, you know, everything's fine. But during that entire year, you saw housing completely implode. There were layoffs. I mean, yeah, the news wasn't really reporting on that, but people felt it. Do you feel like it's maybe mimicking or mirroring 2008 right now?
Yeah, and today people are feeling it again and feeling it probably harder, just from the cost of living going higher and wages not keeping up. It just, again, it looks political to me, but at the same time, they're telling us the economy is fine. And if you actually look at the numbers and you look at the adjustments afterward, whether it be 2 months, 6 months, a year later, you know, they report these things and then they adjust them. And to me, I think we're in a recession. I actually don't think we really had anything other than a recovery from 2008. There was a recovery, but I don't think we've had growth. I mean, the system has been on financial life support since 2008. So that's, what is that, 16 years now. You know, you've had massive fiscal expansion, and you've had massive monetary help. You know, why can't the system stand up on its own?
We have Janet Yellen. She's telling us we're coming in for a soft landing. The Fed cut the rate, telling us that they got inflation under control. But you're seeing gold continually move up. I mean, I remember talking to you, you know, way, way back when gold was under 2000. And now we have gold, you know, way above 2000. I mean, I think it's approaching 3000 now, getting very, very close. I mean, would gold be reacting to a strong economy, or is gold actually telling us some type of story?
Yeah, gold is telling us a story, and that story is de-dollarization. If you go back, you look at the chart on gold, and then you look at the timeline of what actually happened, go back to October of last year. So it was a year ago. The U.S. announced that they were going to sequester the $300 billion of Russian treasury reserves.
Right.
And it was, what, a month, 2 months back that they floated the idea of using those bonds as collateral to borrow against to give money to Ukraine to fight Russia. So, I mean, you know, Russia's assets are going to be used against them. And I think the rest of the world looked at that and said, hey, wait a minute, if they can do this to Russia, they can do it to us. We better do something. So that they don't do it to us. And what you're seeing is you've seen sovereign central banks, sovereign treasuries, sovereign wealth funds buying gold like crazy starting a year ago last October. And that's basically the huge demand that's driven the price from $1,700. It's up $1,000. It was $1,700 a year ago. It's $2,700 now.
I mean, I never thought I see this, because Costco selling, you know, 1 ounce gold bars and they're selling out. I mean, if you go back a couple of years, you wouldn't, if you told people, listen, Costco's going to be selling gold and people are going to be buying it, people go like, why would that be? What, I mean, why do you think people are, even with the price of gold going up, they're still purchasing it?
Well, they're doing that because they know something is wrong, and just human nature, you know, going back thousands of years, man understands that the saying, you know, he who has the gold makes the rules. In this case, it's he who has the gold is protecting himself. And just human nature, man has flocked to gold during bad times or when they expected bad times. And you don't even have to go back 100 years. Prior to 1933, gold and currency were interchangeable. So typically, if you are bearish on the economy, if you're bearish on markets, what do? You go to cash. Before 1933, cash and gold were the same thing, because you could walk into a bank and, you know, with $20.67 and walk out of the bank with an ounce of gold. So What you're seeing, I think, are central banks leaving dollars and going to the ultimate cash, if you will, because gold is accepted anywhere, anywhere around the world. It's the most liquid asset, and most desired asset. And the central banks, they are unloading gold to their balance sheet because they understand that there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a currency crisis. There's going to be a sovereign credit crisis in the U.S. And what that'll do is the average central bank holds close to 60% of their reserves in dollars. And they know that that 60% is going to drop to 50, 40, 30, whatever, depending upon how severe the drop is in the dollar. And they're trying to prepare for those losses that they believe or know they're going to take. And they're doing that by unloading gold, which will inversely move, and it'll fill up the holes on their balance sheets.
So do you think with the currency crisis and everything that's coming up, do you think that we would go back to a gold-backed type of currency?
Well, the BRICS are going to have a gold slash commodity backed currency. We don't know when that's going to be announced. I don't think they're going to announce it next week at their meeting in Russia from the 22nd to the 24th. I do think they'll come out with a communique that will probably be strongly worded, warning that this thing's coming. Now, as far as the U.S. is concerned, obviously they don't want to do that. They would just prefer to do a digital currency with no backing whatsoever. But for world trade, I do believe we're going to have some type of backing, and preferably gold. Obviously, the world would prefer it to be gold, to the currency in order for us to settle trade. The way it stands now, you've got the BRICS forming, and at some point in time, they're going to say, you know, we'd love to trade with you, but we're not going to accept dollars. We want something real for something real. So the U.S. may be forced into having some type of gold-backed currency. None of these currencies will be convertible.
So, I mean, if the BRICS do come out with a memo saying, we're moving towards gold, I mean, this would destroy the fiat currency here in this country.
Yeah, it would destroy the fiat currency because the price of gold would explode, and it does act as a thermometer, even though it's been severely hampered with paper contracts. But if you saw $5,000, $10,000 gold, that basically is it shows a break of confidence, and confidence will break, and the system has been held up literally since 1971 when we went off of gold. It's been held up by confidence and confidence alone.
Yeah, and I mean, and then if you look at the banking system, because they're knee deep in derivatives, and I think there's a lot of banks now that are closing a lot of branches. I just read Bank of America's closing a lot of branches. Banks are in trouble. A lot of them are pointing to Bank of America. I think they have a lot of derivatives on their books. So do you see the what we saw back in 2008, when they said, too big to fail? Are we going to see banks collapse under, the derivative bubble bursting?
Yeah, I think, and I've been on the record for this on this for years. Yeah, derivatives are going to blow the entire system because derivatives are bigger than the entire system. There's more derivatives outstanding. The number's somewhere over 2 quadrillion. That's far larger than all the assets on the planet. I would guess all the assets on the planet probably don't reach a quadrillion.
Wow.
Oh, and one other thing, Dave. You mentioned comparison to 2008. What we're headed for is going to be 2008 on call them negative steroids. I mean, this is going to be so much worse. And I don't believe there's going to be bailouts. I mean, the FDIC had told us back in what 2014, 15. That going forward, there would be bail-ins. And that fits right into what David Rogers Webb has written regarding the Great Taking. I urge everyone to read the Great Taking. It is not speculation. these laws are on the books, and what basically the laws have written is that if your bank goes down, or if your broker goes down, or if your insurance company goes down, your what you believe is a deposit, or your stocks, or your account with the insurance company, those are for your benefit, but the true ownership is by the institution. And if that institution goes down, your assets are going to be gone. And they're going to do that on a mass scale. So it differs from 2008 in a couple ways. One, this is way, way, way bigger than 2008. And in 2008, there were bailouts. This time around, there's going to be bail-ins. And it's going to be the customer who saves the system but gets destroyed personally, financially.
So when, just so everyone understands, when you say bail in, I think what you're saying is that they're going to take your assets, your currency, whatever you have in the
Right.
bank to save the bank.
Right. They'll take your bank account. You are no longer a depositor. You are a creditor. And in fact, you are the most junior of all creditors. So everything has to get paid off before you get any money back. Your broker, your stocks are held in street name. And what that means is street name is the name of your broker. They're not in your name. If you have stocks, you should contact your broker, tell them to send the shares to a direct register. Once the transfer agent has those shares, tell the transfer agent, I want my certificate. If you have a certificate in hand, that is proof positive of your ownership. You directly own it. There's no one in between you and the ownership of whatever company you own. The way it stands, if you have an account with a broker, your broker owns those shares. If they run into trouble, those shares are going to be used to bail out your broker. So basically, I talked about it, Jim Sinclair talked about it for years. You need to get out of the system because the system is going to gobble up your assets.
And what about, I mean, the FDIC covers, I mean, if you have a bank account and they're doing a bail-in and you have, currency in the bank, I mean, people are going to say, well, let's talk about our health. Countless Americans will waste time, energy, and money this year trying to reduce wrinkles, but failing because they missed the real problem, which is a decrease in their natural collagen reserves. Let me explain. Scientists found that after the age of 20, your body produces about 12% less collagen each decade. If you experience an excess of sagging skin or wrinkles for your age, you may be collagen deficient. Plus, knowing you should supplement collagen isn't enough. You have to use the right types of quality source collagen to have the best chances of reducing the appearance of aging. This is why I take this magic secret powder to revitalize and rejuvenate my skin, unlike typical collagen supplements found on store shelves. This product is highly effective because it combines the top five critical important types of collagen for skin health. It's formulated to help reduce visible signs of aging, reduce wrinkles, promote a youthful glow, promote elasticity, and promote skin hydration. If you want to do your skin a favor, get it today while it's 51% off only at healthwithx22.com. Plus, if you order today, you'll get free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, a free new ebook titled The 14 Foods for Amazing Skin, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and free shipping. Once again, that is healthwithx22.com, or simply click the link in the description. I have the FDIC, they're going to cover my $100,000 that's in the bank. I don't have to
Good
worry about
luck.
that.
Good luck. I mean, FDIC, all you'd need is one big bank to go down, and they don't have enough. I mean, that wipes out the entire fund. I think it's $125 billion. That's completely pissing into the wind. Don't depend on FDIC. No one is going to protect you except for you. You need to protect yourself. You need to keep low balances in banks. Your savings should be in gold and silver. You need to get your stock certificates. You need to get out of the system and have as few entities between you and your money as possible, if any. Like if you hold an ounce of gold or you hold a stock certificate, it's in your hand, it's yours. But within a bank or with a broker or an insurance company, you have that company between you and your money. And if that company goes down, you've lost it.
With what you're seeing in the economy right now, and the Fed doing more rate cuts, and I think a lot of the I know that a lot of the numbers are manipulated. I mean, they didn't create, almost a million jobs. Inflation hasn't gone away. Do you see this happening? I mean, we only have a couple of weeks, what, 2, 3 weeks until the election. Do you think something's going to happen before the elections, or do you think something's going to happen after the election?
Well, mathematically, something is going to happen. I was on record last November saying I thought there was only 50-50 chance that we'd even have an election. Now we're less than 3 weeks out, and I'm going to tell you, generally, like an option as it decays, as you get closer and closer to the final date, there's less and less of a chance of whatever you bet on happening. In this instance, because Kamala is imploding, I mean, you look at the betting sites, Trump's up by 24 points now. And a week ago, it was basically tied. So it's pretty clear at this point. You look at the poll numbers, you look at the betting markets, Trump's going to win this. A, if he's alive, and B, if we have an election. And when I say if we have an election, who knows what could be done in the next 2.5 weeks? But it just seems to me that the powers that be, they now know that they cannot cheat enough to win. So that makes this extremely dangerous. And who knows what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks to, quote, cancel or postpone the election.
So you don't think they can do what they did back in 2020? You don't think they can create or generate
Too
enough
big.
ballots? The people with him are too,
It's too big.
it's too big now.
Yeah, it's too big. And you got too many people watching. They can't do what they did in 2000, where they, what, four different states or five different states all of a sudden stopped counting because of a water leak or this or that. No, I don't. I think it's too big to rig this time.
So
I think they know that.
you think they're going to let the election go through, and most likely Trump will win, but they'll try to do something, I guess, during or after the election to try to hold it up.
No, what
All
I'm
right,
saying
give me
is
your
that,
scenario.
what I'm saying is that because it's too obvious at this point that Kamala's numbers, I mean, the interview she did last night with Bret Baier, how could any person look at that and believe the woman has any type of brain at all? So that her numbers are absolutely collapsing. So her handlers, the elite left, whatever you want to call them, they know she can't win. So it's my belief. I think we have a better, at this point, better than 50-50 chance that there is no election.
How would they make it where there is no election? They just can't say, hey, by the way, everyone,
I don't
Kamala's
know.
losing. We don't want to have an election.
Dave, at the risk of getting you kicked off of another channel, I don't know if you could or not,
Hopefully
because I
not.
helped you with YouTube. That was my pleasure. But with the risk of getting you kicked off, who says they don't nuke a city? Pick a city and blame it on Russia, blame it on Iran, whatever. Would that be enough to not be able to have an election?
Yeah, I think something like that would.
Or something. Who knows? I mean, who would have thought? And I mean, I at this point, there's no question about it. Weather modification is absolutely real. It's been real since the 1960s. There's all you have to do is read government websites to know that yes, they can control the weather. Who would have thought that they could have created, and this has never ever happened before, a tropical storm at 35 miles an hour, and within 24 hours, it's 200 miles an hour.
Right.
And where did Helene go? Helene blew out rural parts of Florida, of Georgia, of North Carolina. I mean, that's basically disenfranchising voters. And that doesn't look like it worked. These people, there's nothing beyond what these people will do. So if that's the case, and if I'm correct on that, then you should not be surprised by anything that happens prior to the election, because at this point, it behooves the Democrats to not have an election. Otherwise, they have to give up power. And if they give up power, then the lawfare that they've been using for the last 4 years is going to be reversed and used against them. And you're going to see a lot of people go to jail and a lot of treason charges.
Right now, I don't think there's anything in the Constitution that, explains that, the elections can be postponed or you have to have the election. So, I mean, how long can they put it off for?
Who knows? Maybe as long as they want to put it off. Who knows? And Dave, I do want to mention, okay, so let's assume that we do have an election, and if we do, I assume that Trump is going to win. It's not going to make any difference from a financial standpoint. I think it'll make a difference from the standpoint of the rule of law, but this thing is still going down no matter what. Mathematically, the country is insolvent, it is bankrupt, and Donald Trump, there's nothing he can do to save the system. Well, my hope is that when we go down under the rule of law, under the Constitution, as opposed to going down under a group that wants to alter, change, get rid of the Constitution. They want to pack the Supreme Court. They want to get rid of the filibuster. Basically, they want to run everything and tell you every single day what you can and what you cannot do.
Do you think they timed the rate cut for,
Of
I guess,
course.
Trump's
Of
re-election so the
course.
economy falls apart on his watch? If because I guess what they were thinking, if he wins, you know what? We'll have it fall apart on his watch and we'll time it. And if they win, well, they can most likely bring us into the Great Reset and they can use that to their advantage.
Well, we're going into the Great Reset no matter what. It all depends on what this Great Reset looks like. And I guess that goes back to what I was saying. We go down under the rule of law or under the rule of their law. You've got the WEF that has a vision of a Great Reset. And if Kamala were to win, that's where we're headed. Trump wins, we're still going to have a Great Reset. But it's not going to look like the Klaus Schwab WEF Great Reset. What's going to happen is markets are going to get smoked. They'll close. And I don't know if we're going to start from scratch all over again, but the system is going to close. And once it does begin to reopen, you're going to see vastly different prices in relation to paper versus hard assets. You will see a massive inflation, reflation of whatever of real assets. This goes back to what I've said all along. We will have inflation of the things you need and deflation of the things you have. And once that is in place, there's a pretty great reset.
Do you think the markets might stay up when the banking system and the powers that be realize that
No way.
Trump is, you don't think so?
No way. Well, yeah, I mean, if banks are closing, if the banking system is completely sputtering, what does that do? It means that credit is not easy to get. It's not forthcoming. And you and I have talked about this a dozen times. The system runs on credit. If you shut credit off, you shut the system off. You shut the real economy down for lack of credit.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if you saw this, but Trump was saying that Jamie Dimon was endorsing him, and then Jamie Dimon and JP Morgan Chase said we are not endorsing any candidate. Do you think that was odd that Trump said that Jamie Dimon is endorsing him? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, Trump says some things that are odd, but I mean, Trump's Trump. And in my opinion, it doesn't matter whether JP Morgan or Jamie Dimon endorsed Trump or Kamala or, Mr. Magoo. Yeah, I don't think it's meaningless.
I just thought it was very interesting because JP Morgan, don't they have a lot of silver? Don't they have a lot of derivatives? Don't they? I mean, if the system's going to go down, I'm wondering if like maybe Jamie Dimon is going to be like, okay, we need help from Trump. We Kamala and team, they're not going to be able to do it.
Could be. Yeah, that could be. That's very possible that he was trying to line up future help if Trump wins. Who knows? But like I said, it's not important. What's more important is when you look at firefighters or Teamsters or
Right.
some of these big unions that are not endorsing anybody because their rank and file is probably slightly tipped toward Trump. You got the head, I think, oh, I forget what it was. I think it was the firefighters just for the last couple of days
Right.
said that they're not endorsing anyone but the high up echelon of that union. They endorse Kamala. So what does that tell you? That the rank and file does not agree with the higher ups. And I think that's more important from the standpoint of those are votes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see that throughout the country. I think you see the people.
Everywhere.
Yeah, with Trump and the higher ups and even corporations in Hollywood, and they're for Kamala, and the everyday person who's struggling, who's, trying to make ends meet, they're for Trump. And I think you're seeing the separation now. And I mean, even with the Teamsters, with the firefighters, with everyone else, you're seeing it.
Yeah, because if you read through the lines, if you connect the dots, this election is about woke versus not woke. And I really think, I mean, if I was an advisor to Trump, they're all using specific instances of, this woke thing is stupid. And the average person looks at it and agrees, yeah, it's stupid. I would advise that they go and talk about woke as a concept. And yeah, you could name two, three, four different things that are all, ridiculous. But I think it would be good to hear that if you vote for me, we're going to get rid of all of this woke stuff, all of the DEI stuff. We're going to go back to someone gets a job, whoever is most qualified, not what color their skin is or whatever. And if you get Kamala, we're going to go, 24/7 full on toward woke stupidity. And I mean, who wants to get on an airplane? You have FAA controllers that get out of school and boom, all of a sudden they're in the tower and they're running things. You've got DEI hires working on Boeing planes. You've got DEI hire mechanics. I mean, that's just one thing, airplanes. You could pick almost any topic that some of these idiotic companies have gone woke on. And I mean, the saying, go woke, go broke, it's so very true.
It really is very true. I just want to bring up,
Well, and
yeah.
Dave, our military has gone woke.
Yes, they have.
That's, some of the stuff you could laugh at and go, yeah, that's funny. It's not so funny when we got generals and admirals or whatever coming out in public with high heels and skirts on. Do you really think that scares the shit out of China or scares Putin? The whole world is laughing
They're
at the United States. We are the laughing stock of the world. And actually, you could use that as a title because that says it all.
If they're not threatened by us, or they're not afraid of us because of they're seeing the soldiers in high heels and makeup and complaining about, they don't get money for, transitioning. Does this mean, since Iran actually attacked, I guess, cyber attack, Trump administration got some information, the reporting that Iran is behind the assassination attempts against Trump. Do you think we're going to
Knows.
enter like a conflict, a war, or something because of all of this? Because I think Biden
Well, I
was
don't,
just
I mean,
out there
if
saying,
Trump
look.
gets elected, I don't view Trump as a warmonger. I think he's good at bluffing. I mean, perfect example. And maybe they're not bluffs. Maybe he would follow through with some of the things. But I mean, I don't see that the rest of the world looks at the United States. They see our generals and admirals in skirts and high heel pumps, and they laugh. But it also has got to scare them a little bit from the standpoint of what was, a rational conversation 5 years ago is, or 10 or 20 years ago, those conversations, they can't be had because you're talking to people on the other side that have a mental illness, a man wearing a dress and thinking that's cool, in front of the US public, in front of the troops, in front of the rest of the world. It's got to scare the rest of the world that these people, they're not rational to begin with, and they got their finger right next to a red button. So it's got to scare the shit out of the rest of the world, along with laughing at us.
What I was saying before is that, like, Biden came out and said, listen, if you assassinate Trump, that is an act of war. And he was speaking to Iran. What we're seeing now
Well, there
happen.
you go. That's a twofer. You get two for one on that. You kill Trump and you start a war. Two things that they want. So, yeah,
I
there you
mean,
go.
so do you think they're projecting out there that they're going to head in that direction?
I hope not. I mean, at this point, anything and everything can happen. I mean, there's no way at this point for anyone who's not on the inside and knows what the actual plans are, there's no way to handicap what's going to happen.
When you say we're going to have a delay in the election or no election, let's say, I'm just going to use a scenario. Let's say Trump wins
Well, I
the.
didn't say
Go ahead.
that's what's going to happen. I said I think there's a high probability
Right.
that at least a 50-50 probability that we don't have an election. So just to clear that up, I'm not saying, no, we're not going to have an election. I'm just saying there's definitely a possibility that something happens and we do not have one.
Well, do you think, I mean, with the public here in the United States, watching this thing, well, wait a minute. We went out, we voted, and now we don't have, an election, or maybe before they say we can't vote. Do you think the people are going to accept this? The people are going to say, or are they going to demand some type of an election?
Good question. And I've talked about this before. I think no matter what happens, if we have an election, no matter who wins, there's going to be massive unrest. If Trump wins, money will flow into the United States to pay thugs to burn the cities down. If Kamala were to win, there would be all kinds of signs of fraud. And I don't think that the conservatives who have been to this point have been law-abiding, polite citizens. I think they're going to lose that abidance to the law, and they will lose their politeness. I do believe there will be unrest no matter who wins. And if there's not an election, who knows? I mean, that's above my pay grade as to what could happen there. But whatever it is, it's not going to be good.
I mean, from the people that I speak to, that they're hoping that the election is done, Trump wins, and they're saying, okay, once that happens, everything is over. Everything's good to go. Everything is fine. And
No, mathematically, we're broke. How is everything fine? I mean, how is Trump going to reverse mathematics? He can't do it. This cake has been baked over the last, well, literally since 1913 or since 1971, whatever dates you want to use. But this cake has been in the oven for at least 50 years. And this is not something that Trump can wave a magic wand and everything's good to go. That's not the case. This country is insolvent. It's bankrupt, and there's going to be a default. I'm not saying there's going to be a non-payment default. What's going to happen is the dollar's not going to buy squat, and the never pay model will be understood for what it's been all these years. The never pay model.
So what about moving forward when Trump is saying, okay, we're going to drill like crazy.
Okay.
We're going to, have all this oil. We're going to sell it. We're going to bring money, tariffs. We're going to, I'm not saying this is on day one, but I'm saying moving forward, almost like Milei in Argentina. He went in there. He cut all the positions of government. We have Elon coming in. He's going to, cut the government, hopefully maybe by three quarters, I'm hoping. And when you start doing all these things, I'm not saying this is going to turn the economy around in one day. Do you think that over a period of time, we could start to recover and actually maybe move into a gold-backed system, move back to the Constitution? Do you think that is a possibility?
Now, I do believe your final analysis of going to a gold-backed or commodity-backed currency, yeah, I think that's going to happen. But when this thing goes down, because of the derivatives that are outstanding, there's no entity or collection of every sovereign central bank, every sovereign treasury on the planet could try to prop it up. It's too big. It's too big to bail out. The derivatives are going to tank the entire financial system. We're basically going to start from scratch. So your optimistic view, yes, at some point in time, we are going to recover. At some point in time, the world is going to rebuild and reboot a system. And notice I'm not saying the system, because the system as it is right now is going to be gone. When I say the system, I'm talking about dollar hegemony, and basically the US's ability to import real goods and export papers that have, or paper that has no value. That's what the BRICS is all about. They want free, fair settlement of trade.
So, I mean, what you're saying is the old system, we're going to go through a period of time where the old system is gone, but we will be coming into a new system. I mean, the system today, I think it's run its course.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And I think
Yeah,
maybe.
absolutely. But you can't go forward with the current
I agree with that.
dollar the way it is. The dollar itself has got to change. And if you didn't change anything else, if you just changed the dollar, man, what a difference that would be worldwide.
It would be.
And there would be serious pain in the US because, we've eaten our seed corn. We've lived on the credit card, and now the credit card, basically the dollar losing reserve currency status is like cutting the credit card in half. It's shutting the credit line down.
Yeah, there's no more loan sharks. There's no more, continually borrowing and laundering the money. All that kind of disappears.
Well, what happens is you'll have sellers and nothing but sellers worldwide of treasuries. Those dollars are going to come home. Inflation's going to explode. And the last and only buyer of any resort whatsoever of treasuries is going to be the Federal Reserve. And they're already technically insolvent and losing money every week.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at their graph, it's like straight down. It's awful.
It's over.
Yeah.
This whole thing is over, Dave.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for being on the X22 Report Spotlight. Once again, if people wanted to get in touch with you or see your work, where should they go?
Just go to my website. It's simply billholter.com. There is a and people don't typically poke around and know this. There's four tabs up on top. One of them is interviews, and I post all my interviews there. So if you're interested in seeing any other of my interviews, they're all posted there. There's also an icon up top called Grizzly's Corner. And if you want information on prepping, the guy who's written into this, a very, very good friend of mine, he's written probably a dozen different articles on prepping. And I would put him next to Grizzly Adams as far as sending him into the woods and wondering which of the two would come out okay. I mean, the guy knows how to survive, and some really good information there. If you do want to reach me, there is a button there, a contact button, or if you want to go directly to my business email, it's bholter@proton.me.
Great. I'll put all the links at the bottom of the video. Bill, thank you very much for being on the spotlight. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.